Bonnie Gani, everyone. This is Professor Almond Ra, Professor Emeritus, California State University of Long Beach Africana Studies Department, former City Councilman for the City of Compton, former Compton College Board of Trustees, and former Compton Unified School District Board of Trustees, and a longtime student of Kawi the Philosophy, created by Dr. Maulana Karenga, who is the creator of Kwanzaa. I want to welcome you to the Black Conscious Corner and want you to kick back because we don't do nothing but talk about facts about Blacks. And in second, we want to welcome you. You found your family in a peaceful place. And we want to let you know that one of our models that was given to us by the a person that's the sponsor of this program, Brother Rashiki Maskani, and each one teach one. And so this is an educational platform on a multitude of subjects that directly affect the quality of life and the prosperity of life of African people, not just in America, but worldwide, because we are Pan-Africanist people. But we just want to welcome you. We hope you have a beautiful day, and we hope that everything that we do cover subjects that enlighten you and uplift you and educate you. Tonight we're going to be discussing about preparedness, personal and family preparedness, which is very crucial. And what type of preparedness? Well, you know, for the unexpected, earthquake preparedness. Are you prepared, especially for those of us that live in California? In Japan, they just had a major earthquake. In El Salvador, in Venezuela, they had a major earthquake. I don't know if it's due to climate change or anything like that, but one of the major things you should be prepared for is an earthquake. It could happen anywhere at any time. And do you have things in order? And if not, I'm hoping that we can get some ideas of what you should have and what you could have. And we're going to start with Brother Ernest because he was in the service. And one thing about being in the service, they teach you to be prepared for the unexpected. And things of this nature. So, Ernest, what would you say if you were educating people about being prepared? But second, most of us are not prepared because we don't think things gonna happen. Many people just don't think things happen. Life is what they say. Time is forever, but life is short. And what you don't expect to happen sometimes happen. But are you really prepared? So Ernest, as a former veteran, I think you were in the Navy, right?
Army.
Well, that's even better. in my opinion. I know they trained you and I know you learned a lot. So what do you think is needed for family preparedness?
Yeah. I was actually in the Army like for 6 years, but I worked for the Navy for 34 years.
Oh, I tried the Navy one.
So, but like, yeah, I've been done the normal things like strapped down my water heater, and then I've gone to Home Depot and you can buy these earthquake straps to strap your TVs and any kind of tall cabinets. I've done all my cabinets. And then my wife always has collected these little artifacts that you put in these curio cabinets. And so what I did, I had to go to Home Depot and get this art supply clay. And it's for earthquake, and the art museums and stuff use them, and it's like a clay, but you put a piece underneath your little whatnot thing and press it down, and that stabilizes those. So if you do have a quake, it won't destroy all the little artifacts. And then my wife got a grandfather clock, so I had to strap that. And she had a two curio cabinets. I had to go in there, and she must have 100 of those little things. And I just worked on them till I got them all secured. And then in the bedroom, she's got these little glass curio shelves, like, and she collected cups and saucers, so I had to do each one of those. And then I've got just about everything done. So, and I go around from time to time and kind of check some and make sure that clay is still hot and it's still solid. So that helps, and mainly your high. I started with my high cost items, like TVs. So you don't want that TV to fall over. So you need to strap those and secure that. And then most of the other big furniture and stuff, you don't have to worry about that. But like pictures on the wall, you have to worry about them because they earthquake, they're coming off the wall. So you need to make sure that's secure and don't hit somebody in the head if you have a little quake, So I pretty much got all that done. It's time consuming, but it's worthwhile doing it, to be prepared, because I always, in the service, they always taught us about what if. Just ask yourself that instead of thinking, well, it might not or may not or will not or is not, just what if it does happen? What could you do, So those are some of the things I've done. The water heaters, you're talking about $1,000 if that thing fall over and spring a leak, So big cost items like that, you have to strap them down because they will topple over.
Okay. So, but where you get these straps at, and
Oh,
what
Home
is it?
Depot. Just tell a man lead you to the earthquake section. They got all kind of straps, and they got like that museum clay, like, because that's what in our curio cabinets. And so just have to do each one of them. Take a little piece of that clay and press it on there. And that really stabilized that item,
Okay. What about you? Are you in Detroit? Are he?
I'm really not prepared at all. I mean, I don't have any liquid assets except for maybe I have my bank where I keep my change at, and a few dollars in my note, my pad, and my wallet. And then if we should lose power, now I had discussed putting in a generator, one of those generators to automatically kick on when the power goes off. It's run by natural gas, and gas usually pretty stable, and it's always on this stuff when emergencies happen. However, they did a whole lot of work on the grid in my area, and in the last 2 years we haven't. So that's been on the back burner. Last 2 years we haven't had any issues with outage problems with the power going out. Water, it's another like a filter that I was doing some work in the house, but that's of course the last thing. We got pretty good water here in the city of Detroit, but I did still plan on putting the filter in any event that we have were to lose our water from the city. If I were to get some water from other sources, I could at least use that as a filtration system. And just my pantry in my house. I just got finished cleaning it out, so ain't nothing in it. So if, like something happened tomorrow, I'm screwed. So I'm not totally like ill prepared, but I am. That is on my mind. And I do have weapons and I do have ammunition. So, might be able to go to take somebody's stuff. But that's sort of 1 out of 5, I guess. So we'll hope that by the end of the year I can make that maybe about 3 or 4 out of 5.
All right. Right about you, Machine in Louisiana.
What's the question? How you doing?
Oh, brother, first of all, it's good to hear your voice.
Yeah, good to hear all y'all talking. Yeah.
My relatives, they had a big ceremony of life in Louisiana, but I'll talk about that later. We were talking about being prepared for the unexpected. We're starting out with earthquake.
Right.
What to know, are you prepared? And
well,
if not, what should you do to get prepared?
Good
question.
What
do you recommend?
Well, I'm down here in hurricane country, so we have to stay prepared to a certain degree, so that's off top. Some of the things that the brothers mentioned earlier, those are good ideas. Brother, was talking about, stabilizing furniture or what have you, your precious furniture or whatever you want to keep, let me give it a chance, I guess, to survive an earthquake. But out here, we don't really have earthquakes. I haven't had any earthquakes down here, and but I'm not, anything's possible. But as far as hurricanes, storms and thunder, those traveling tropical storms and tornadoes and things like that, I got affected in Katrina back in 2005, was it? I think, yeah. And I had, a tree through my dining room. Big old pine tree was in my dining room, and so a lot of damage. Had insurance claim and all that, and it was tough getting things fixed. So I said all that to say that from that point on, it said, man, you got to have water, so you stock your water. You got, we know people, with wells. We know people with house generators that's just built on, for the whole house. I have two generators that I'll have some power to keep some things going, that was purchased a while back, a nice one, but haven't used it in a long time. So you got to, now that's a good reminder for me to, try it out, make sure it runs and all that kind of stuff, getting prepared, making sure your equipment is ready to go, especially in these parts, you have to water. And then having some food, we store food, got a little garden every year, so the garden, can go all the way through hurricane season. So you can grow okra and, greens in the fall, and then tomatoes in the spring through the summer. And, so just trying to, get off into nature and grow you something. And so you has a food source, that type of thing. And but if you got a freezer and you use one of them generators to keep that freezer going at the very least, or in the refrigerator, maybe, plug them in. But anyway, I can go on and on about that, but I think it's a great idea to be prepared for anything, so it's a good conversation. So.
Okay. Well, Dr. Sarita, are you there? Dr. Sarita?
Peace and love, family.
Yes, how you doing?
Fine, how are you doing?
Are you in Ghana or are you here?
I'm in the big city, the big C. I'm still here.
We're talking about preparedness for a case of a major earthquake. What do you recommend?
Being that you survive it, I'm not sure how much you guys talked about as far as even just what to do if there's an earthquake, where to stand, where to go, just for safety, that part. But you're talking about after everything is down and you, because I just came in.
Being prepared for in case one comes.
Okay. Just kind of listening to what everybody was talking about. I think the best thing for me is something happened right now and I couldn't move, couldn't go nowhere, couldn't get to a grocery store. Can't, I have my backyard. I have so much there's so much food back there, and I won't have to worry about water, unless it has to do with bathing, of course. But water in reference to drinking, because you get a lot of water in your juice from the fruit. So I think I will be able to survive off our backyard, for a period of time, providing that we made it safe. But I guess the question for me, only thing I know that I've been taught to do in an earthquake, and which is what I do even when I start feeling like a little shimmer, because you never know how big it's going to get, I stand in the doorway. That's what I was always taught. So I don't know if you guys were talking about anything earlier as far as the safety part, but I would like to hear more if somebody else has more
Okay.
than that, because that's all I had. And this, I've been in California all my life. This is in school. This is at home. This is the only thing I was taught to do as far as how to be safe.
All right. Okay, Brother Rashiki.
Well, pretty much been covered. I was taught that too as a child. Get in that doorway, water. Hopefully you have good communication skills with the people around you, because you could actually use help and barter. And so, just I think common sense type behavior, and pretty much what everybody said. Sister Linda is here.
Well, yes, and can I, because I came on late, but can I say just a little bit, please? And I think you were talking about the earthquake that was in Japan. Am I correct?
We're saying, are you prepared for an earthquake? And if not, what do you recommend people do to prepare?
Okay. Well, I'm in Florida. I'm not in earthquake, but we have hurricanes all the time, and we always have to be prepared. And when the brother was talking about being in the doorway, what we do is, in our last major hurricane here, we just were told you get in the bathtub in your bathroom. And that's exactly what I did. Is I had a chair, put it, and I had Zari, and so we put chairs in our bathroom, even in the tub. I got a flashlight, because we always be prepared, because we know how the hurricanes always hit here. You get your water, of course, and you have a cooler, and we just stock up on all kind of things. And now we've also have purchased a generator, because we've had hurricanes where we didn't have power for almost 2 weeks, and cold water everywhere. And then as Professor was just saying also, or Rasta Key was saying, the communication. So that's why we all have walkie-talkies in our house, keep batteries and everything, just to regenerate stuff if the generator go out. So we always get prepared, and we know hurricane season comes in August to November. So you always did get start getting prepared in June. You have the cooler, everything in your car, and then you always find out where you live and what zone, if we're in an evacuation zone, in case we have to evacuate. And just like last year or year before last, we did have to evacuate. And my mom, she has shutters, storm shutters around her house. So everybody above boarded up her house. And then we came to mine, and we just went from family to family, see who needed to leave. And then, of course, you got to keep gas, of course, gas up the cars. If you got to get out of there, you don't mess around with that. You just have everything packed up. You keep it in the back of the closet, or you keep it in your trunk and get ready to, when you need to get out of there, you have time, you have alerts. So just do it. Preparation, that's the word I'm trying to say. Just prepare, because it does happen often here in Florida.
I think we're spoiled in California because the earthquakes come, but I can still count in my lifetime.
Earthquake could
Dang,
go anywhere, anytime. Even though they haven't been there. Earthquake. Even a hurricane could come in California. But let me just say that the best cure to any problem is prevention. You want to be prepared for the unexpected. sometimes we get a false sense of security.
Mm-hmm.
We don't think about things happening. When you got kids, sometimes, you know, you watch where they go and who their friends are.
Mm-hmm.
You try to warn them what not to do. Blah, blah, blah. But when it comes to an earthquake or other catastrophes, we're going to start with the earthquake. See, it can happen in the midnight. It can happen when you're sleeping. You know, an earthquake can come at any time. There's no time for it. And if you live by the beach, you can cause a tsunami. It could even add to flooding and water coming all over. But anyway, some of the things that have been recommended, that first of all, you try to have at least, and this is for any major catastrophe, if you don't have to evacuate, if you have to shelter in place, are you stuck because the building collapsed, and there's no help coming? It's so widespread. The fire department, police, and paramedics, they're all busy and locked down. They may not get to you for hours. You need a first aid kit with a tourniquet in case you start bleeding.
Definitely, yes.
You need a tourniquet and you need to learn how to use it. You need to have bandages. You need to have antiseptics, and you need to have all of that. Second, you need to have your medicine organized.
Absolutely.
Especially if you're diabetic or you have high blood pressure and things of this nature. You need to have in a way that you can get to it and be able to move it or get to it if it's possible. Another thing is you need a hand axe, especially in earthquake areas or a hurricane or whatever. A hand axe, in case you have to break out the door or something, things get, you know, your building can shift, doors don't open, a tree could fall, have you blocked in. You may have to break windows. You may have to chop your way out of the wall just to get out. But you need to know where you're going to go.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Rasha T mentioned getting in doorways. That's the old way. The new way is get up under something sturdy. You know, now, most of our beds are too low, and I don't know how sturdy they are. But generally, your dining room table, or if possible, if you can get to it. But you need an axe and a hand shovel in case you have to dig your way out or dig your way under to get it, break off the floor and go up under the house and crawl your way out. You never know what happened to the people in the Northridge. All the buildings collapsed and the people got, I mean, it was just terrible. But the point is that you need flashlight, a very good flashlight that you keep always ready with flashlight. If the power go out, even if you want to get to a generator or get to something, you got to be able to see, especially if you have to go outside. It's dark at night. There ain't no street light. And you want to find something around your house. But you really, I mean, you don't have to do these things. These are things that are suggested. Because the best cure, the best to have it and don't need it, and the needed don't have it. Then you need family meetings to discuss these things. most of our children are gone. They live different areas. But they need to think about this also. We have a substances, just a, you know, friendly conversation. You know, I mean, that's going to be your number one worry is your loved ones. Are they safe? That's the first thing you do in an earthquake is call people and say, did you feel that? You understand? You okay? If the phones are working. You understand? That's very important. That you just like they had earthquake drills and fire drills in public schools. You got to think about this at your house. We don't. And we get caught short. So we don't think about it, and we have a tendency to feel that ain't nothing gonna happen. God got us. You understand? Or, you know, I just don't think about things like that. But as a man and a woman that care about their loved ones, you have to think for them sometimes. You know, their mind is on Magic Mountain, Disneyland, you know, going to work, getting the money. Ain't nothing gonna happen. But accidents happen. They come out of nowhere. And it can be a tragedy if you're not prepared. So that's very important. You should have them N95 masks. Some fumes or something happened in the atmosphere. What was happening out here in California? They had a big factory fire and they had tons of rotten food and the smell and gas. I mean, you never know when you need a mask, but you should have N95. You don't get broke. I mean, you pick these things up slowly. You know, I'm glad Ernest told us about the straps. At Home Depot, they got an earthquake section. Very important. And as I said, make sure you got a first aid kit. Make sure you can turn your gas off. What's that, Ernest? Your earthquake kit? Yeah, okay, you ready. You ready. That's beautiful. And so you want to get they say first thing you do is turn your gas off if you have gas. I.e. stoves and stuff. Because there's going to be aftershocks. And you don't want no gas leak. That could start a fire also. Then you want to make sure you have at least not plastic water. You want to get a aluminum canteen, a couple of them that have water in them. Plastic sometimes can turn into toxic stuff. This is my son. He's a a guard, he works for the people that check stuff that comes in. But he told us, make sure that if you get a canteen, there's no plastic in it, and that you get, you know, your water. In case you need water, you never know what you need water for. And if they cut off the water for whatever reason, or problems happen, or you can't get to the water, your faucet, or the water become contaminated, you need some fresh water. But you need at least 2 weeks of non-perishable food. Non-perishable food. We're talking about nuts, rice. We're talking about stuff that don't get rotten fruit, all of that in 2 weeks can go bad. But you need food that don't go bad. You know, these 2 weeks are perishable, non-perishable food. And you need a solar radio or a solar
shortwave.
Yeah, shortwave. Solar or crank, you know, I mean, most people ain't gonna do these things. I know that, and, you know, you know, but you, this is something we just discussing to educate people and just put it on our mind. You understand? Like I said, earthquake can come anytime, and you never know what's going on.
You just reminded me too, you and I hear about the water, because I got this big 5 gallon Culligan thing I stored in the garage. I got about 10 of those. Need to go check them, because I know it's been at least 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
You know, on that water. I don't want the water to stagnate, so I've got to remember to go around and change that out, you know.
Yeah, we got 4 of them.
Yeah.
50, I got 50 gallon water.
Right.
55.
And then I was depending on, I got a 60 gallon tank, so I was depending on that tank and those water bottles for water, you know.
Yeah, and try to keep cash on you.
Yeah.
Because you ain't go, the banks may.
Ain't no ATMs, right?
You can't get to them, or either they locked down or there'll be a rush on it. Gold, diamonds, and cash are bartering and trading thing. You can take with you. You need to think about it. Just think about it. You understand? May not happen to you, but it could happen to your future kids. Get them to start thinking about it. I mean, we as Black people, we sometimes think that America's the safest place in the world. We're secure. You understand? We know we're not secure politically, but also physically, we have a false sense of security here. You understand? Because they want you out spending money. They don't want you doing things that take care of yourself. I mean, and think the way we're thinking and talking right now. Now, what about fire? Same thing. Look what happened in Palisades in California. You know what's going on in Paris and France right now, wildfire. Look at all them people that had to evacuate. Make sure your insurance, if you're renting, get you some renter's insurance. If you have a house, make sure your insurance is updated. What's happening in Altadena? When people bought their houses 30 years ago or took them over, they never upgraded their insurance. So their house may be insured for what they bought it for, but now it's worth millions and they never upgraded. So be on top of that. You understand? Wildfire. You'd be thinking wildfires are just up in the woods and up in the mountains. But those were two cities, Altadena and Palisade. And they got one going on right now in Colorado. Well, people have to evacuate. And, you know, always keep at least a half a tank of gas. You should always never go to sleep with your gas tank on empty or just a little bit of tank. Always, in case you have to get out of here, you want to get at least 200 miles. You understand? They have a place called San Onofre, a nuclear place out in San Diego. And people was always worried. They got one in Santa Barbara too. People was worried about a nuclear leak. You may have to just get up out of here, but then back to the fire. That case, fires are not just putting water on. You understand? People be thinking, you know, if that was it, they'd put the fire out right away. But it don't go that way. Wind shift, embers go all over the place. And you don't think it happened to you. I lived in the projects once, in the Pueblos when I was young. And this lady left her kids in the house, and the store was almost just a block and right across the street. She went there, and on the way back, her apartment was on fire. And her kids were locked up in there. Now, I remember this so succinctly. The fireman giving her child, pumping her child heart. They went in and got it and pulled out. Smoke killed you before the fire. Smoke would kill you before the fire. And so you never think nothing's gonna catch on fire. But it can happen anytime. You understand? Anytime. And so you want to be prepared for that with regards to case you have to evacuate. You know, tell family members where you're going to go, how you're going to go. There are people that are homeless now. They're living in their cars and in trailers in front of the lot where their house used to be because it's burned down. Waiting for insurance companies who's fighting them and delaying paying them so they can rebuild. You understand? You be saying, I got insurance. Boy, let me tell you something. You can have insurance and you have to sue the insurance company. You understand? But at least you got a shot. But I'm just saying, I know we don't think about these things, but we're trying to lift consciousness. And consciousness is that we prepare for the unprepared. A true soldier is never unready. A true thinker, you can't play like kids. You can't think like you want to go to Magic Mountain and you just want to play. It's like men play with women. I'm a player. What the hell you want to play with? Life is serious. You understand? All these cartoon stuff. We ain't gonna train. I'm just saying. You know, you feel you can make it by yourself. I ain't got nobody else to worry about. Well, look. That's like saying that your mom and daddy didn't get together for you to be born. People have a relationship. You didn't come here on no stalk and got left on a porch. You were a product of a relationship. Relationships is the key thing. Knowing neighbors, knowing your neighborhood, knowing how to be prepared for the unexpected. Relationships. You understand, it's very crucial. So you prepare for that. You don't think it's not going to happen. You be prepared if it happens.
Hello.
You know, and that's very, 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 very serious. And second thing, power outages, as Machinda and Linda Shorten was talking about it. He said he got some generators. Listen, you get some generators and they're good. You understand? The noisy gas and all that, you got to watch them also. But at the same time, power outage. I mean, your phone may not be working. It's just all kind of stuff when you don't have no power, especially if it's going to be out for weeks, because it takes the power company that long to get things back in order. You've seen it on the news. People be 3 weeks without power, 4 weeks without power. That's why you need that non-perishable food and water. That's why you need to be prepared. You don't need to, but you should be. You can't make people be things like this. You know, people just say, I mean, God gonna take care of me, you know. And that's good. That's what they believe. But the struggle is a continuous struggle. And we have to think like that and think consciously at all times. And so we think about that. And like you said, hurricanes, tornadoes, they can be anywhere nowadays. Why? Because of climate change, dust storms, all kind of stuff is going on. These Caucasians then messed up the whole atmosphere. All them bombs they dropping, you don't think it affect you? And the atmosphere, the earth is spinning. You understand? It's we don't know when summer, when winter, all these months didn't change. Used to could say this is the fall. All the four seasons. Now you don't know what the hell is going on. You understand? Now in Texas, it be raining and hot at the same time. You understand? I know. Well, climate change is real. They're running out of water, ice, areas where there's ice and snow, ain't none. Rivers are drying up, and people not paying no attention. They're not paying attention to what's going on. And and I'm not saying you should be preoccupied with this all day, but just as a thinking person, that's the head of the family, you should have these discussions, you know, with your wife, with your friend, with yourself. You know, am I really ready for the unexpected in case something really happened? That's like when you get married, you don't expect to get divorced the next day. But hell, you may need to because you married a fool. You understand? We could be a male or female. You go in there forever. When you living, soon as you born, you on a death march. You understand? All of us, you don't see nobody here that's been here 200 years. Eventually, we all got to leave. But we want to live as conscious. We want to live as long as we can and with as much consciousness as we can. And that's very important from that standpoint that we are it's like Black people living in 65, 75. At one time, life expectancy in this country was 34 years old. You're old. You're dying. Go back to just look up life expectancy in the 1500s, 1600s, 1700s, 1800s. And see, few people got real old because they had so many diseases. They had so many, they didn't have the medicine they have today. They didn't have the herbal knowledge that they have today. People would, people just, you know, they got worms in their stomach, they ate too much pork, or whatever. I mean, I mean, kidney failure before they had dialysis. People died from that. People died from a lot of stuff with medicine and operations and stuff. You know, they find people living longer with cancer. People living a little longer. You understand? So you have to take that under consideration. Sometimes we take life for granted. We think we're gonna feel the way we feel when we're in our 20s, when we're in our 80s. Some do. Some people don't age bad. Some people age bad. But the point is that no matter what your situation is, it's a blessing to get old, but it's a challenge to be old and to stay as long as you can. But as soon as you're born, I don't care if you have kids or not, that kid is going to die, or you hope you die before they do. But and you want your kids to bury you. You don't want to bury them or have a memorial service. But you want to live as long as you can. So that's why you try to take in health knowledge. Health knowledge. Life is short. What they say, time is forever, but life is short. So we got to really, really, you don't realize how short it is till you get up there in them 70s and 80s. And you know you're on the downside. You're on the downside. You ain't as fast as you used to be. You ain't thinking, you can't remember things like you used to. You don't go out. When you was in your 20s, you went out at midnight. When you get in your 80s, you're in the house at 12 noon. You say, damn, I ain't going out no more. Leave it to the young people. You understand? You be worried about drive. You drive slower. You want stress. You move slower.
Hey, so, hey, Professor Ron.
Yes.
Sometimes, when you get certain age, you say that old song, "The thrill is gone."
Well, so that thrill be gone, even when you're young. You know, but. I know what you're saying, but I want to get Dr. Sherita to tell us about what's going on with the Ebola on the continent, because she'd be over there a lot. Maybe we can get her to do that, because like, nobody expected COVID. They're saying it's making a comeback. You understand? And, you know, and a lot of people don't want to take shots. But the mask is just like a shot. You understand? Pay attention to the news and pay attention to health forecasts, not just weather forecasts, but where diseases are. Measles is making a comeback. Polio is making a comeback. All these things, because people don't want to take vaccinations. And you know, these are diseases that can spread. You understand? So, you know, we had a challenge in life to live as long as we can and as healthy as we can. And that's why they want, you know, we're not taught that. We do corrective stuff. You know, you come up. Our parents didn't know not to feed us a bunch of fried food. Our parents, they didn't know you shouldn't smoke. Many of our parents that was born in the 19th and the 20s and in the 30s, they didn't have warnings on cigarettes. And many of them perished because of cancer. And it's the same thing with fast foods. Remember, a fast food place is just like a crack house. And the sugar and salt are toxins. They're poison. If you abuse them, I'm just saying you can't put a little seasoning on this and that. But when you get addicted to salt and sugar, Man, that's just like being addicted to a cigarette. You understand? Most people you see are overweight. Why? Because they eat themselves to death. Eat anything. All of them are seafood eaters. They seafood and they eat. You understand? I mean, that's just the way it goes. They don't even be hungry. They just eat. Because this country commercialized food, make it cheap. And then, it destroys people's lives. It destroys their man and womanhood. You live a short, you get sick. I mean, even when you try to tell people at an early age, they don't listen. Because many of them are. It's like telling a crackhead quit smoking crack. That's like telling a sugarhead and a fast food head, stay away from them pizzas. Stay away from them a McDonald's. They don't want to hear that. And they already sprung. They sprung, I'm just telling you. So anyway, so we know that we got to get these equipment generators. And be prepared for fire, hurricanes, tornadoes, earthquake, and storms and flood. Ernest, you was here when Long Beach, and Southern
Yeah.
California got flooded. We were flooded.
Yeah.
I mean, deep flooded.
I can remember about at least
Yeah,
about
take up
three or
in
four since
the,
I've been here. Yeah.
yeah, man. You know, we never thought that. They talking about, well,
Yeah.
all the places where the water's supposed to drain were all bagged up. I mean, the water was up to our waist, up to our car doors, and things of that nature. And we never thought that would happen. You never know. You never know. Anybody have any other comments?
I'm just glad he mentioned about their power, because I've been anticipating buying a little emergency generator at least to run my little freezer in the garage and my refrigerator, to keep that. Because we did a NAACP did a thing on this earthquake, see preparedness, see how many people could last 3 days, and most of them couldn't last 3 days. So
Wow.
you should at least be prepared for like 3 weeks,
Yeah.
So yeah. So people just don't think about this stuff,
Hey, Dr. Sarita, you still there?
Hey, yeah, greetings. I just came back off a call.
I know you got connections on the continent. You think you can give us an update on what's going on with the Ebola?
With the Ebola, you know what? I don't necessarily keep up with the news like that in that kind of way,
Okay.
because I understand what they're doing. So you're talking about Ebola, that's what's in the media, but it's stuff going on all the time. Because at the end of the day, we already know this, they're about genocide. They never stop trying to kill us, and they probably never will. Until it's like Dr. Cambon says, they're eliminated from the planet of the Earth.
What about the testy flying mosquitoes?
Say again.
Testy flying mosquitoes.
What about mosquitoes? I'm sorry, I'm not hearing you well.
The malaria.
Oh, yeah. Oh, so that's the real problem over there, as far as when you talk about people dying from Ebola, is more people dying from malaria. But at the same time, you don't necessarily have to die from malaria. It's something to most people over there, it's like a like we treat a cold, or a fever or something. They don't look at it as like people start having symptoms, they'll take a couple of pills and then go to work and go to school. It's just knowing what to do. I have malaria. I lost count. How many times I've been, this is my 20th year being in Ghana, and it's probably been about 7, 8 years since I've had it. Because I think what it is I catch stuff as soon as I start feeling something, then I'll just go ahead and start immediately with ascorbic acid. That's my first go-to, vitamin C powder, as soon as I start feeling something, just so I can just have a strong defense up front. And so, and then there's like a lot of different local herbs that are there. That's just right there in the bush, which is what I was going to mention earlier, is having some kind of knowledge about the plants that are around you. And then seeing which ones are medicinal, very easy. Take your Google Lens, take a picture of it, and then it'll come up. And it'll kind of give you some information on, I found out that I had yellow dock in my backyard. Didn't realize it, you know. And so having information on the herbs that are around you, that's what helped me a lot. And that's what's different for me in Africa. Because here, you know, we're going to run, you know, we have a health food store. So, of course, we're going to pop a pill. We got some powder. We got some leaves or whatever. But being there and walking around and being able to identify the herbs that are in your area, that's real important. Because you can survive off the plants. Regardless of what happens, you can survive off the plants. So malaria hasn't been, it's more of a problem than all these other diseases that you know that are coming up. Even when it came down to COVID, still more people was dying from malaria than COVID over there. We had less deaths in all of Africa, the whole continent, than the city of Los Angeles, not the county, the city of Los Angeles, less deaths. You know, so people were still doing festivals. They were still out in the streets. People weren't bothered about wearing masks unless you went into certain buildings where they required you to wear it. You know, so when it comes down to things like you talk about Ebola, I don't keep up with it like that when it comes down to the news. It's just more of me knowing what's on the ground, you know, where I am anyway.
Most of it's in Uganda and
it's more East Africa.
Yeah.
And I'm more in West Africa. Yeah. So I mean we got our issues too.
Well, we need to know what's going on with our people everywhere. Talking about what they're doing to Cuba. As far as the blockade, I mean, some we talk about natural desire. But what about civil disorders and war? You never think it would come to this country, but it could. You understand? Because they're not fighting conventional war; they're using drones now, and air warfare, economic warfare, and things of this nature, like. You may not be at war, but you're in a war. And you may say, well, what's going on over in Iran and Palestine don't affect me. But when you go to the gas station and go get groceries, it does affect you. You understand? That's what rises the prices, raises the prices. And second, there's sales. People may start doing things from bombing to sniping. Asymmetric warfare, you don't fight conventional. It ain't about armies against armies. It's about creating fear and polarizing society, poisoning food chains and water chains. But we'll discuss this later. Any other questions anybody have in comments? And Linda, you still there, Linda? Linda Shorter.
Yes, I'm still here.
We have a question. When you say y'all prepare for hurricanes.
Yes.
And prepare for tornadoes and stuff like that. How frequent are they?
Every year. Like I said, always we know to prepare to start in August 1st to November 30th.
When I went to Florida.
And I'm appreciative because I had never thought about the mask. I'm glad you said that, too.
Yeah. Well, I went to
Can I say something about the mask, though? You can also have learn how to make a homemade mask. Okay. It's not everything that you have to buy. Sometimes you got to make do with things that are around your house, taking a piece of cloth and making it into a mask for you.
That's what you need to show us how to do that, Dr. Sharif.
Yeah, it's just taking a piece of, it's just taking a cloth, just like you would put on a mask when you're dusting your house.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? A lot of times you didn't go out to have to buy anything. You found some old rag or something, or a t-shirt or whatever, and you take it and you just wrap it around. You got to do what you got to do in emergency situations.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But Linda.
Yes.
So they're frequent. And then when I was in Florida, most of the houses in Jacksonville, that was back in the, I went there and had to be somewhere around 69 and going into the 70. Mm-hmm. Their houses were on, off of the ground.
And it, some of them still are. Yes, they are.
Yeah. Is that, why do they do that?
Probably because of the water, probably because when we have hurricanes or because people, if they live near the water, yeah, your house is up. Yeah. Now, where I live now, I'm in a non-evacuation zone. Water is not around me.
When I went to Louisiana, Machina, houses was on stilts. They were off the ground. You still there, Machina?
Yeah, I'm still here.
How the houses back there?
Yeah, there was there's a lot of houses. Well, that's low-lying areas, like up on the water, because of floods. That's why they up high like that. People got flooded out during Katrina. They learned, and you notice people got their houses fixed and they were up in the air. So some of them look really nice how they do it. You can actually park a car under there if you want to. some places, yeah. But so that's necessary. And then if you're near water, you got to know your evacuation route. If you have to evacuate here, we have evacuation routes, and everybody does. You just got to know when to go and where to go if you need to seek higher ground, or seek safe ground. So kind of knowing what's happening. It's like having fire drills in elementary school. You go through these drills. Well,
yeah.
Hurricanes. We always get notifications and little trainings at work and stuff and reminders about this and that. You spread it on.
And if I can say something that Professor said is relationships. That was key when he said know your neighbors and so you can communicate with somebody if you got to get out of there. Relationship building. Yes, I thought that was key. I hadn't thought of it like that, but thank you for saying that earlier.
You there? Are you? Stuff is very good. See, a lot of buildings are old and they're not retrofitted for earthquakes, and they'll collapse on you. I'm just telling you. It's deep. But anyway, it's a beautiful discussion. I want to thank everybody for the input. And we got to get deeper into our consciousness about ourselves, our development, and our maintenance of our physical, nutritional maintenance, as well as cultural and political. Because this society tricks you in and seduce you into all kind of negative behavior and activities. And so we're going to be talking about that a little bit more. Next one is that we're going to be talking about economic development and maintenance. And very crucial because we just waste money. I mean, we just spend money and realize that money is a tool and weapon. So Rasha Key tomorrow, how's it going?
No show tomorrow. We got one next week on Wednesday with Mr. Edward Williams talking about his book. He has about 5 books out. Brother Muko is going to be the host. And then we have on the the 15th, we have Message to the Black Diaspora, and we have Brother Olumunji that's coming on out of Chicago. So the information will be on the website soon. The flyer will be on there.
Next week, so we have the vice president of SEIU Union, United Service Workers U.S. Union. Farmby, as my guest. Okay. And he's going to be talking about labor workforce and, you know, what we should be preparing our kids for and what's going on with the union. And also, they're planning in August 28th a major march in Washington, National Action Network, Al Sharpton and them. And Martin Luther King, III, is going to be organizing that. They do it every year. Go ahead. You had your hand up, Ernest. You had a comment, Ernest. You're on mute.
No, I didn't have anything. I was trying to mute this.
All right, then. All right, well, look, I'm going to tell you, it's a beautiful discussion. Deeply appreciate everybody's input. We got to think consciously, you know, and think and lift our consciousness, what kind of thing. All right, then, Rashi.
All right. Each one teach one in Black Conscious Corner. Everybody continue to have a great day.